And then I have to admit, I'm really sad to be ending our Hamilton series this morning. And when I originally laid it out, I think I could have had like 8 or 9 weeks that I did on this topic, but I figured that would be a little much, especially if you actually have not seen Hamilton. But both between Hamilton and the idea of doing justice work and knowing what the Lord requires of us, just are pieces of my heart. But with that, as we move into this last Sunday, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Shoo, sometimes the words of my mouth don't work properly. Though I have to tell you, it was amazing, to say the least, to get to actually go see Hamilton up at the Pantages last week. And I've watched it several times on Disney Plus, and I've seen it once before on stage, and I've listened to the soundtrack I don't know how many times, but it was wonderful that it took a new meaning as I watched it on stage and thinking about these ideas of justice and mercy and ministry work as watching it. Even had one of the young ladies that went with us, Anna's friend, as we get in the car, and she says, "Stacy, that took a whole new meaning after hearing your sermon this morning." And I said, "Oh, you make my pastor heart happy." But this morning, we get to one of the toughest parts of Hamilton, one of the most gut-wrenching songs that comes in the musical. I call it unimaginable, but its official title is "It's Quiet Uptown." This is the song that follows the death of Eliza and Alexander's son Philip after losing his life in a duel at just 19 years old. Them going through the unimaginable pain of losing a child. Eliza's sister, Angelica, sings these lyrics, and boy, I wish I could sing them for you, but we all know that the tune is not coming out of here. But there are moments that words don't reach. There's suffering too terrible to name. The moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier to just swim down. Have you ever been through suffering too terrible to name? The ache and the heart and the grief so deep that there are just no words to describe it. Eliza and Alexander are trying to handle the loss of their son. In our scripture story, David and Bathsheba are in the same place, but they didn't even get 19 years with their child. Their child was lost at birth. They're all going through the unimaginable. But why do we feel such ache? Why do we feel such pain? Why does humanity have to endure this? The prophet Ezekiel gives us a little insight. In the 36th chapter, the 26th verse, it says, and God is saying this to God's people, "I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." A heart of stone in some days would be so nice. What is it? It's impenetrable. It's unbreakable. It can handle everything that comes its way. It's solid and secure and feels nothing. But a heart of flesh is vulnerable. It's breakable. It endures pain with weeping and aches. I've watched this over the last 2 weeks as I have led 2 funerals and attended one, watching families in their toughest of hours watching a young woman trying to sing one last song to Grandpa and having trouble with the words coming out. Hearing family members try to speak and having to go through the tears and the pauses of emotion. This is the sign of our flesh, heart, that feels this world. Heart, flesh, it aches. But the other thing about a heart of flesh is that it could be prone to sin. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about justice through the eyes of Hamilton and David, talking about the work that we are called to do, talking about the ways that we are supposed to be God's hands and feet in this world, to bring equality to people, to ensure that everybody has the love and joy and compassion that they should. But last week, I was one that admitted that I fall short, that I am a human who is prone to imperfection just like everyone else. I apologized for where I had fallen short with those in our congregation especially, and sought forgiveness from each one. Our heart of flesh is prone to sin. It's prone to helping us be part of the injustice system instead of the injustice solution. And here in our psalm of the morning, Psalm 51, that's attributed to David, is a psalm where the psalmist is lamenting sin and its impact on their life. Verse 3 says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." I think about Psalm 23 that says, "Surely justice and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." But then here it says, "My sin is before me. My sin is leading me. My sin is trying to send me away I shouldn't go, always there as a temptation. For me, I know that temptation that's ever before me is not using that filter on my mouth and the words that come out and hurt before I have a chance to think about them. I know my transgressions. I know where I fall short of what God desires me, and I know that that sin is always before me." Do each of us know and acknowledge our transgressions? Do we have the strength and the courage to admit them and to seek forgiveness from those that we have wounded and from God who is before us? Do we know when we have become lost in our sin and wandering the path that we shouldn't go? I see a symbol of it in my office. My office has been a mess. And I've told you this before because it just happens. And COVID, I was out of the office for basically 18 months. I would come in and stop by for things and spend a little bit, but most of the time it was stopping in to drop stuff off from a project or two or something happening in worship and just never having the time in there to stop and organize and put things away and figure out what needs to be tossed and what needs to be kept and what needs to be stored. And it's just been an accumulation of stuff. This week, I decided it was time to start cleaning. It was actually last week, but we could call it this week. Packing up every book to move the bookcases to a different spot. Packing up everything off the floor. Taking trips to the dumpster. Taking trips of books that aren't mine back to Asbury and Byam. Taking things home that go there. Having to sort through and clean and think, what do I need and what do I not? It's a sorting that I need to do with my soul and my heart. a cleaning out, about thinking of everything that's been accumulating, everything that's been coming. But then there was the greatest symbol of all. As I had taken everything off the walls because I'm going to change out and put up new pictures. And I took the old ones down, and once I took the old ones down, what did I need to do? But I needed to take the nails out of the wall. And I took the nails out of the wall. They pulled out so easily. But then I sat down and looked at my wall, and what did I see but the holes from those nails? And I thought, sin has consequences, doesn't it? Including but not limited to a broken relationship with God and our neighbor. We apologize, we say, I'm sorry, words that can be so easy out of our mouth. Take any age child. I just saw a little boy that I've known a couple years now, and I saw him for the first time since COVID, and he's turned 5, and he's turned into quite the energetic thing, and his way of saying hello was to punch me. It's okay, I can take a 5-year-old punch. But what do you do at 5 years old? You punch, and then what do you immediately say? I'm sorry. And we've said the words, I'm sorry. We've done what we're supposed to. But like the holes in my wall, the root of what has happened and what we've done are still there. And there's work yet to do. Psalm 51, when we go back to it, verse 7 uses these words, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hyssop, we go into the Old Testament, and it was used to be dipped in blood to sprinkle on the doorposts for Passover. Hyssop that's part of the mint family with a pungent smell. Hyssop that's used for cleaning from sin. The psalmist here, utilizing hyssop and water and prayer, is participating in as much as praying for the cleansing ritual of grace and forgiveness. What is our ritual? What is our prayer? When we know that we've wronged God, when we know that we've wronged another, do we simply just say, I'm sorry, and work to move on? Or do we have our routines that we go through? Our routines that seek to know what's at the root of our sins and our wrongs, to know where our words and actions are coming from, to be able to deal with them. Like a weed, you just take off what's at the surface. The roots are still there, and it will grow right back, but get to the roots, and it can be gone forever. What is our cleansing process? Repentance, returning, learning, and seeking the Holy Spirit should be part of it. But the good news comes in the New Testament. As we go into Jesus' parables, we get the 3 lost parables of the coin, the sheep, and the son. The sheep that wanders, the coin that gets lost. There they go in their sin, away from the woman, away from the shepherd, us away from God and our neighbor. But what do we find? The shepherd chases after the sheep. The woman hunts down the coin. And when they find them, they rejoice. And it says much rejoicing will happen in heaven when just one sinner repents and returns to God. When we repent, when we acknowledge our failings, when we acknowledge the wounds that we cause and seek that deep grace from God that helps us to not repeat it, there is much rejoicing in heaven. This grace of healing comes back to us in Hamilton as we continue in our same song and in our same tune. But now Angelica is singing, there are moments that words don't reach. There's a grace too powerful to name. We push away what we could never understand. We push away the unimaginable. Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Here's Alexander and Eliza at this moment. Alexander, who has wronged Eliza. Alexander, who has put their story out in public, a double wound on Eliza after his actions of straying from her. But here, through this process of the unimaginable pain, Alexander speaks his words of sorrow to Eliza, seeks to repair their relationship, and by the end, it's them together going through the unimaginable. The grace and the forgiveness that Alexander receives from Eliza, like we receive from God, and we likewise can give to one another. You see, purging of our sins creates a new and clean heart within us. It's the process that makes new life possible. David confesses. David seeks repentance. And David gets a second chance. Alexander confesses. Alexander seeks repentance. Alexander gets a second chance. When we confess, when we repent, we get a second chance. This morning, as you walked in, you may have received a little vial. If you didn't receive it coming in, meet me at the welcome table on the way out. If you have it, pull it out. If you don't have it, pretend like you've got it. Don't drink it. In this vial is water, but it's got a little bit of mint essential oil in it to be reminiscent of hyssop. This I invite you to take home, to have your own ritual of purging and cleansing, confessing and seeking forgiveness, to spend time with it thinking about what you need repaired, what has broken your relationship with God and what has broken your relationship with your neighbor. And then use it on your hands, on your head, wherever it may be, whatever speaks to you. And let us be like the psalmist, with full honesty to God and a full grace that comes in return. But before we do, let us bless the water that's within them, whether you have it now or about to receive it. Let us pray. God of compassion, we turn towards you now. We rend our hearts. Forgive our pride and forgive our insecurities. Forgive our self-absorption and forgive our self-destruction. Forgive our doubts and forgive our confidence. Forgive our longing for attention and forgive our desire to hide. Forgive each step we take away from you. As we remember the psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. For all of this we pray, as we seek your Holy Spirit to be a part of these waters, and the process of cleansing and renewing that happens with them. For all of this, we pray in your name. Amen.